amongst your people. Sweet, sweet spirit, and in the face that we know it must be the spirit of the Lord. God, we dare not try to do anything without you. Not only do we need you, but we need you to be in control. We need you to empower us. God, we need your spirit in this place. Nothing can happen without your spirit. We already feel it here, God. May you continue to be with us and over us. God, whatever you want to do, we place it in your hand. Because you are mighty, God, magnificent, God, awesome, God. Yet you are God that loves us. It's all about you. Everything about you. Let you. side, there's an outline of the sermon. On the other side, there are scriptures. We're going to read that scripture at the top of the scripture portion of the scripture side. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. If you're able, stand in honor of God's word. All right, I think we're ready. All right, it begins. Therefore, we do not lose heart.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
But though our outer person is decayed, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. A blessing for those of you that share the reading, that those of you who will implement it into your life, into your heart, as we try to life out, live out God's holy word.
Yeah.
Listen, it's good to see all of you out. I think a lot of you have your Black history, a lot of the African motherland outfits. Amen. I couldn't quite get with it, but I went back as far as I could go. Amen. I did wear, y'all know, hardly ever wear a robe. Okay. So I put on my robe. Amen. I don't know, you can just either wear a suit or just come laid back. But I said, I can go back about 2000. That's about so. I can go back. Amen. So we're going to praise the Lord this morning. We're just going to enjoy God. But I want to get quickly into the word for, like I said, I have a lot to cover. Hopefully the Lord help me to do this. Today I want to talk from the subject, keep your eyes on the prize, hold on.
Amen.
Now I don't know if you heard that song, but if you're familiar with the marches, the civil rights march, that's the song they used to sing.
All right.
It's called the Freedom Song.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're saying, keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on.
All right.
Amen. Paul and Silas, stuck in jail, had no money to put on their bail. Put your eyes. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Then they say, hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. There's one thing I've done wrong. I stayed in the wilderness too long. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. There's one thing we did right. In the day we started to fight. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. There's only one chain that man can stand. That's the chain of being hand in hand. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. So there's something in it. Now, I want to talk about it was a song that they sung to keep their focus. I'm going to give you context. And then when we get into our sermon, what I want to say is, as believers, there's a correspondence, an affiliation between what we went through as a people and what we go through as believers.
Right.
It's all continually still about being on focus.
Right.
I can understand why you would need a song like that when I look back at what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in 1960, a student nonviolent coordinating committee where they were forbidden to go because they were white-only establishments in a city and trying to desegregate and bring in a segregation order that had already been given. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes when they sit in, they were mildly, they were treated badly. Sometimes they were spit on, or they would take their food or their malt or their drink and pour it on them, or hot coffee. Amen. They would insult them sometimes, even physically assault those students. But because they were all about nonviolence, they did not respond. But they kept their eyes. Can you get with me? Because if they would have responded with violence, evil can't put out evil. Only good can overcome evil. Right. If they would have responded with violence, then they would not have received the prize of the freedom that they were wanting for. They were setting an example. No matter what you can do to me, amen, you cannot control me on the inside because there is a God that I serve. Yeah. They kept their eyes on the prize. When they did the freedom rise, a few years later, they had what was called Freedom Summit. And during Freedom Summit, the Council on Racial Equality organized Freedom Summit. SNCC, Students for Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, joined them. And they went down trying to register people to vote. At that time, many of black churches were being burned. And a couple of guys came down, Micah Trenner and Andrew Goodman, along with a brother named James Chaney, and they were going around trying to register people to vote, trying to investigate the churches that were being burned. And all of a sudden, this one brother and two of our more pale-skinned brothers, one Jewish, I think maybe both of them, but they went around, and all of a sudden they came up missing. Because they were trying to register people to vote. Because you know, if you don't have a vote, you're still a slave. Or if you don't have a vote, you cannot determine your own destiny. When people take your vote, they enslave you again. You don't have a say-so on what's happening in your life. So they realize that everybody needs to vote. But no citizenry, no people who can't control their own destiny if they can't control those that are over them. Who have a seat at the table. We wanted to have a seat at the table. We wanted the right people to be sitting at the table so they were sacrificing their life. They even had freedom schools where they would go and educate you so that you'll be able to pass the literacy test in order to vote.
Yeah.
Now, I want to tell you, literacy test should have been illegal anyway. But often, they would have tests that were just almost impassable. Which is bad. If they had just been passed, how did the white citizens pass it? I want to tell you, they couldn't pass it either. But the way they got the vote, because they were grandfathered in. They said, if your grandfather voted and your father before them voted, then you can vote. Of course, our grandfather didn't vote, so we couldn't get in like that. But they did that. And then those boys were killed by the police officers. Police officers killed them and buried them.
God have mercy. God have mercy. Repeated history. God have mercy.
No wonder why he had to say, why would people give their lives? Because their eyes were on the prize. And when you keep your eyes on the prize, you're willing to give your life to make a world better. Meg Evers. Meg Evers was out there. He was upset because they would let you get gas at the gas station.
Right.
But they wouldn't let you use the restroom because of the color of your skin.
Right.
And Meg said, hey, if I what we need to do, if they won't let us use the bathroom, we don't need their gas.
Right.
It started hurting them. He was also, he was in and eyes on the prize. On Bloody Sunday, when that group took off over the Edmund Pettus Bridge to work for voting rights in 1964, or 1965, one, it's kind of old, but as they went across the bridge, they almost made it. But at the end of the bridge, they were beaten.
Yeah.
Tear gas. A couple of them died, I think. Why would they do it? They had their eyes on the prize. And the reason why I know they had their eyes on the prize is because that didn't stop them. A few months later, the same group. But now the group was a larger group. It went from 600 to 1,000. And they went over with a, amen, because God fixed things in the middle of things. They went over with Dr. King leading, and rather than having 600, they should have just left alone on 600. Because the next time it went through, it was 7,000. Won't he work things together for good to them that love him and that are called according to his purpose? And then they left alone the first time. The Freedom Democratic Party had a vice president, Fannie Lou Hamer. Fannie Lou Hamer, they were threatening her, shot at her. Amen. One day they took her to jail and had another black prisoner to beat her in the prison. When she got out, the beat was so bad, she lost her hearing. And I think her lungs were impacted, or her kidney was impacted. They led to her death later on. Why would people put themselves in that situation? Because they were fighting, they were marching for a better day.
Yeah.
They had their eyes on the prize of a more just society. They had their eyes on the prize of being able to vote and control their own destiny.
Yes.
They had their eyes on the prize.
Yeah.
We know what happened to Dr. King. I remember even little Ruby Bridges. At 6 years old, and her mom going to be the first African American young kid to integrate, amen, in all white school. And when she came to go to that school, how grown people, grown women, grown men would holler, shout insults, and call her name and throw things at her to the point she had to have U.S. Marshals in front of her and behind her. But she went on to school. And when she went to school, amen, none of the other students wanted to be in the same room with her. So she had to be in a room by herself, have her own teacher. Amen. But she still went. Why would you subject your child? And why would a child go through this? Because they had their eyes on the prize. Fight for something.
Yeah, for something. Yeah.
Change the vote. Wanted to be treated. Wanted to go to a school, a good school where you get a good education.
Yeah.
Wanted to elect people that will sit at the table that will defend you and stand for you.
Yeah,
but it was hard. It was bloody. It was gore. It was gory.
Yeah.
But they didn't stop. They just kept up. They kept making momentum and making movements and moving on up. But I'm going to tell you, even today, fight's not over yet.
Amen.
You got to keep that. But we took our eyes. A few years ago, we took our eyes off of it.
Right.
We thought we had nice houses. Nice cars, grab good job. We thought we had it made. We wouldn't have to go back and fight for this stuff no more.
Right. Yeah,
but that last administration,
said, we ought to get, don't worry about all this racial stuff and let it go. So he said, all this is just one race. You know, I don't have no problem with that. I believe that's biblical. But we all come from Adam. Amen. So I think that's biblical. There is only one race. But my brother, all I got to say is, if there's one race, why did somebody say that when we had different families? If there's only one race, why were we on the back of the bus and the other restaurant on the other day on Sunday bus? If there was only one race, why couldn't we go to the restroom that you went to? If there was only one race, why couldn't we sit at the counter that you sit at? If there was only one race, why couldn't we go when you voted? If there was only one race, why weren't our father, amen, in it? If there's one race, why did I have to go to the colored hospital and the colored school?
Take that toothpaste.
spirit and get stronger. And get to a point you're looking forward to something greater than this world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But after a while, every time it seems like the world gets a little bit better,
yeah,
it goes back.
Go back. Go have mercy.
You think things get a little bit better,
yeah,
and they go back.
Yeah, you're right.
And you just say, Lord, will it ever get better?
Yeah.
Lord, will the racism ever end?
Right.
Yeah. Lord, will the heartache ever end? Lord, will the disappointment ever end? Every time I turn around, it's something else. If it ain't one thing, it's another. I don't know what to do, Lord. Because sometimes you just say, well, it may get better, but it's never going to be like it's going to be when I'm with you. You start looking forward to being with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're saying deep within your heart, sooner we'll be done,
yeah,
with the troubles,
yeah,
of this world.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Because, yeah,
this ain't my home. This whole world is not my home.
Right.
I'm just a pilgrim down here.
Right.
I'm a pilgrim,
yeah,
and a stranger traveling through, yeah, this barren world.
Yeah.
But I got a home.
Yeah,
this ain't it. This ain't it. The commercials will try to tell you this is it.
Yeah.
This is your home.
Yeah.
So try to fix it up as best you can.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
So try to get you the right kind of furniture. This is it.
Yeah.
So make sure you're wearing the best clothing.
Yeah.
This is it. So make sure you got the right car. This is it. But I stop by to tell you, brother and sister, this is not.
It's not it.
The enemy trying to get you to make earth help. We'll never be able to make the earth happen. So eyes.
Yes.
Eyes have to be
on the
prize.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I get with us here?
Yeah.
Eyes have to be on a further horizon.
Yeah.
We have to, I'm looking forward to some whole different thing.
Oh,
hallelujah. I'm not looking forward to the American dream. Amen. Because the American dream keeps turning into a nightmare. I'm looking forward to something else. Where every day will be something.
Yeah.
And we just walk around, baby.
Yeah, all day, preacher. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So Paul says, and then he says, oh, this is 17 says, for our
momentary
light of faith. Hold on, Paul.
Wow.
I'm with you on this first verse. I'm with you on 16. But you saying, this stuff I'm going to do, you call it life affliction?
Life. Lord have mercy.
This stuff my forefathers went through, this stuff I'm having my life. Do you know what I've been through?
Yeah.
Do you know my struggle? Do you know my heartaches?
Yeah.
Do you know my disappointment, mishap, misunderstood? Do you know all I've been through? You know how hard my life has been, my ups and my downs. Now, Paul, you said it's a light.
It's a light.
It's light.
Wow. Wow.
This ain't light. Some of us, no, this ain't light.
Yeah.
This ain't light, Paul. This, I'm making some hard stuff.
Oh,
that's good.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, this night. I've been through some stuff, Paul, that I almost wanted to throw in the towel.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Paul, it ain't been light all the time.
It ain't been light, Paul.
But we misunderstood what Paul is saying. Because Paul knew what he was talking about. You know why I know Paul knew what he's talking about? Get the scripture, she get the scripture down again. Look at that last part.
No.
This is what Paul, see, Paul, when he said this, it ain't like Paul was living in Beverly Hills.
Right, right.
Amen. With a 20-car garage. This is what Paul says. Are they serving for Christ? I am speaking as if insane. I'm speaking as often as before. I'll tell you this. Y'all think I'm crazy. But I'm also in four more labor. Talk about this, talking about yourself. In four more labor, I had to work hard. In four more imprisonment, I've been in prison. Beaten time without number. I can't remember how many times I've been beaten. Often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 in danger from the rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own countrymen, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger amongst all brothers. I have been labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure on me, the concern for all the churches that I have started and what's going to happen to the people. I understand when I say life. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. What I mean when I say these are life afflictions. You don't understand what I say when I call them like afflictions. Paul says, hold on, I'm trying to get you to the point where I want to get you. Now, they are momentary. Because life is momentary. Life lasts only a little while. Amen. James, for you see the language of James 4:14b says, life is like a vapor. Read that, we're talking about the life like a baby. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And I look back over my life. Amen. And I'm in the fourth quarter now. When you're in the fourth quarter, you look back. Amen. You say, oh, I wish I would. See, it takes you some time to get to the fourth quarter in order to realize how you wasted the 7:30.
Amen.
Y'all with me? And now, if I, because sometimes you hear people say, like, if I knew now,
right,
or if I knew then,
yeah.
What I know now. Because you done wasted the second and third quarter.
Lord have mercy. Yeah.
And now, you finally understand God, what he wants you to do, and his plan for your life, your purpose, and your assignment. But now, you're in the fourth quarter, you ain't got that long left. You know, I talk to all that Paul had went through. And this other verse in 2 Corinthians 11, I'm going to read that. But if you got your Bible, you turn with me. You got to turn quicker. By the time you get there, I'm going to try to be out of there. 2 Corinthians 11, you can write it down. You can read it when you get home if you want to turn with me. 11:23-29. Well, I did that time. See, you know. Oh, okay. Stay right where in that same verse where we at. Chapter 4. I'll read before. In chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all surpassing power is from God and not from us. This is it. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Life presses on us hard, but not crushed. Because God's spirit is being crushed. Perplexed. Sometimes I can't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. Can't understand why the world is like this. I'm perplexed, but not in despair. But even though I don't understand, I know I'll understand it better.
By.
And I trust in God has a purpose. Because, amen, he never allows us to have pain unless that pain is going to lead to some kind of gain.
Yeah.
So even when I'm perplexed, amen, I don't get into it. I'm persecuted, but not abundant. They talk about me. They try to get rid of me. They try to knock me down and knock me out. But I'm not about it. He's with me.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm with you always.
Yes.
Even until the end of the world.
Right.
Then he said, I'm struck down. I got knocked down, but I stopped by to tell you, I'm getting up for the 8th chapter. Because they knocked me down, but they didn't knock me out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And the good thing, when you get knocked down, but knocked out, you can go to God, and God is a good corner. Sometimes all When I said light, I wasn't making light of your situation. Because I know to you it feels heavy on your heart, heavy on your mind, heavy on your psyche, heavy on your body. I know it feels heavy. Because this is what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that it's light, but I'm trying to use comparison. Compare to the prize. I know it's pain, I know it's hard, I know it's difficult, but compare to the prize is love. Are y'all with me? Yeah. That's why, athletes, if you want to be a champion, if you want to win Super Bowls or championships, amen, you got to train yourself. And training is hard and difficult and strenuous. You got to get very early in the morning sometimes. Sometimes you got to last till late in the evening. Yeah. Amen. You get yourself in the top physical condition, the mental condition. You watch the tape of the opponent, trying to figure out what's your best way to defend opponents, what's your best way to win a game. You're working hard. You're really working hard. But amen, when you win, it seems like, your life compared to the joy of winning, there was light. I'm trying to tell you that the prize that we got coming. That's why you put up with stuff in the job. You put up stuff in the job for coming all crazy. Even if you're all crazy, lying about it before we're in the corner, amen, whispering, amen, and folks trying to bring you down. But you know why you put up with folks at the job? Because you waiting for Friday for the prize. You waiting on the 15th and the 1st for the prize. You waiting for the prize to come in the mail. You waiting for the supervisor to come around and hand you a prize. Amen. So if the prize, sometimes the reason why you stay there, especially, amen, if you're a single mom or a single dad and you don't have two income and you're trying to make ends meet, the reason why you stay on your job is because, hey, I got a prize. My prize is being able to feed my children. I know I have to take some stuff, put up with some stuff, but if I don't put up with it, I ain't even get saved. I'm looking for the prize. The prize is when they're hungry, I got food for them. The prize is when they need to go to the doctor, I got medicine. I got medical insurance. The prize is when it's raining and cold outside, I got a roof over their head. That's why I take the stuff I take. Listen to crazy supervisors and even managers, because I'm watching for the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. Oh, I know you want to quit, but don't quit. Because you got to keep your eyes.
Tremendous.
If you look at three keywords, the three keywords in our first one, momentary light affliction.
Right.
And there are three keywords in our second, eternal weight and glory. Mm-hmm. Now, each one will write upon each other, y'all.
Right.
Eternal is different than momentary.
It's true.
Yeah. Eternal.
Yeah.
Momentary means a little while.
Right, right.
It's a little while. Eternal means it lasts forever. Mark says, what does it profit of me?
Yeah.
To gain a whole world and lose his soul.
you can't imagine the glory.
That's why I'm telling him it's light. Amen. That's why I'm telling him it's light.
Yeah.
Because, amen, it's in comparison of something else.
Yeah.
Amen. Because it's comparison to something else. Amen. I said, hey, me and Claude trying to leave this piano. I said, oh, it's light. It's light. Claude, y'all trying to take something. I said, that is light. That's not light. I said, yes, it's light. Because if I were comparing it to an 18-wheeler, it's light.
Yeah.
18-wheeler? Piano? 18-wheeler? Which one? Oh, that's a piano light.
Right.
When we compare eternity, it's all you. And it's momentary. It's a momentary light thing. Now it's also it's just momentary return. And then it said light and weight. Light, and then weight. Weight. We're talking weightiness of God and glory. We're talking about significant.
Yeah.
Now something is insignificant.
Right.
Sometimes people be talking about insignificant stuff. You just get bored. That's not significant. But somebody can tell you something that's deep and helps you to live life better, share the wisdom with you, that's going to be a blessing to your life and help you to have breakthroughs and give you wisdom to live your life in a better way. You say, oh, that's heavy. What he said is heavy.
Yeah.
What this one over here says is nonsense. Wasting my time. Amen. You remember, I'm not going to say this candidate now, but there was one candidate, amen, there was a senator candidate, and he was saying light stuff. Talking about werewolves and all kinds of stuff like that. Well, we're talking about a senator. We're talking about running government and war and poverty and policy, and he's talking about werewolves.
Yeah.
I hope when you go to the church you get something
heavy.
You ought to find something heavy. Lightweight stuff what you talk about when you're standing out on the corner. But when you come, you ought to get something heavy. Something to help you live your life. And sometimes sermon can be life for you. Amen. If you heard some sometimes sermon because you don't get much out of it. You might get happy about it. But you don't get much out of them.
Wow.
Amen. They might have a good hoop on them, a good rhythm on them, amen. And that's all right. I don't mind a little hoop, and I don't mind a good little rhythm of the sermon. I don't mind your clothes and break.
Yeah.
Amen. But before your clothes, before you give me the dessert, can you feed me?
Yeah.
Because I can't live on dessert, amen. Before you give me dessert, can I get some, amen, some rolls, mashed potato, and green beans, a turnip. Don't just give me ice cream.
No.
Because that ice cream that's going to hold me a little while.
Yeah.
As soon as I have my sugar high and it's over, I'm out of it. I'm out of there.
But
God is with. God weighs more than anything. When something has weight, it means that matters more. It's more significant.
Yeah.
It's God saying, hey, this thing that I'm giving you to do, going out and sharing Christ with people, changing their life. It's the most important thing. This is a weighted matter. This thing got a weight on it. Because it could change their eternal destiny, their life, their marriage, them as a parent. It could change their financial situation. This thing is heavy. It's important. It's what you need to be listening to. Paul says, this is momentary, but what we're going to get is eternal.
Yeah.
The pain is momentary,
right?
But the gain is eternal.
Right. Yeah.
The pain is light,
right?
But the gain is weight.
Wait.
Yeah, and then he gets the last time. He said, affliction.
Yes.
that it's going to pay. It is. I know it's hard. I know it's going to rough on you now. Yeah. But prepare for glory.
Glory, glory. God's glory. Compared to God's.
Let me just talk about it a little bit as I go down. Glory is all of God's attributes.
Yes.
His perfect character. You can't, the reason why we can't describe glory, because we can't describe his attributes, because some of his attributes, they are not human words to describe.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're talking about patient God is.
Yeah.
How patient is God with putting up with us in the stuff we do? His patience is you can't describe.
Yes.
How he just keep on blessing you with that.
Yeah.
When you don't deserve to be blessed.
Right, right.
You can't describe that. How forgiving is he?
Mm.
You can't describe God's forgiveness because of how much stuff he's forgiven us of.
Yes.
You can't describe his immutability. Yeah. In other words, God don't change.
Don't change.
Y'all don't know how important that is. And I'm glad Jesus the Christ is the same yesterday, today, forevermore. I'm glad I don't have to get up and expect something different. Because you know, sometimes politicians are like that. They tell you one thing one day, and then you see a different thing. And sometimes even we are, as human beings, we are like that. We're one way one day, and then one day we're your friend. The other day, we ain't got no time for you. Amen. But this God, all my life, I've been waiting until he's been the same God. Amen. He's not only did he got all power. I got a God that got all power.
Yeah.
He don't need no help. Not only does he have all power, he got all knowledge. He knows everything. I can't even describe it. Can't even figure that out. Can't even get my arms and my head around that. And then he's everywhere. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that's not important for my team. Yeah, he's everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Amen. So when I'm on the longest highway, all about myself, and my dad take hands is already almost on me. I said, God, can't you just make it easy? Just give it to the gas station.
Yeah.
Hey, I wish I had a witness in here or something.
Yeah.
When I go in the hospital room, the sheriff can't come in with me. But I know he's everywhere.
Yeah.
I said, can you guide the doctor's hand and give a surgeon some wisdom?
Yeah.
Now, if other folk can't go, I know God is already there.
Yeah.
He's already around the corner, I'm going to go around. He's already around the curb, I'm going to go around.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Some of y'all that got in trouble and you got to put in the prison, but he's even in the prison.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've had better worship in the prison, amen, when we preach in the prison than I do outside the prison sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
God's love.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I can't even start with God's love.
Yeah, don't
start. How can you love me so much that you will send your only begotten son that died for me on Calvary the cross? Amen. See, sometimes we've been rejected and ghosted. had a misrepresentative and all the things you had to deal with. Amen. Sometimes the door's been closed on you. And all the other things, you feel like, amen, not is there nobody going to love me for me. But I stop by to tell you, if you know this Jesus that I'm talking about, when we get to glory, the greatest thing about him, amen, because glory, you know glory, 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 is when you celebrate somebody. Amen. You remember after Super Bowl, that Super Bowl parade, and all the Kansas City fans, they were celebrating. Amen. They celebrate, have a parade for them, celebrate how good they are. So when I get the glory, I'm already going to be worshiping him. I'm already going to be worshiping God. But that's the only thing you do is have worship. But the great thing, not only am I going to be worshiping him, but in his glory. But it says that the Father is going to love me like he loved Jesus. Oh, I wish I had somebody. It said the Father, not me. He's not going to love me just like he loved me. But Jesus said, Father, you won't love him like you love me. And I'm like, the Father, God the Father, is going to love me like he loved Jesus. Don't you know what kind of acceptance that is? I ain't never been loved like Jesus been, like the Father loved Jesus. Well, they don't understand that. When you have to deal with something your whole life, to know that the God of heaven is going to help. Hey, man. I'm glad you're here. You glad I'm here? Man, God, I wouldn't have been here without you, man. I've been waiting on you. I've been sure wanting to show you how much I love you, how much you mean to me.
Yeah.
You didn't know it. You didn't know I've been loving you your whole life. I've been with you. I've been taking care of you.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for you to come. I couldn't wait till you got here.
Yeah.
But I had to wait because I had some more children to come in. But do you know how loved you are? So not only, just like a fan was celebrating the chief, we'll celebrate God, but the great part, he'll celebrate us. It's going to be like sometimes a little child does a great comfort, basketball, whatever it is. And they come over. You have the whole crowd just cheer, he did good, he did good. But when they come over to the parents, and the parents say, so proud. It means so much more.
It's true, preacher.
And all the other people said, so one day, he was just so proud. on the cross.
Bless you, Jesus.
Over.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
If you're here today, I hope you know him. If not, I want to tell you he died for you. He loved you that much. He gave his whole life just for you. He'll do it, Calvary. Folks spitting on the ground with on them, marching them up, going down to
there
to a cross. He died there for you. He didn't have to do it. You didn't have to leave the man in the ship. But he stayed there and died for us.
Yes.
So that we could have it. Like that.
Who else?
Without a Savior, do we have? friend go to? Always trying to keep it out. Always trying to shrink it out. No room for a dollar to go. No doubt where you are. But the thing I think about it, when I get to heaven, I'm going to jump and shout. Because can't nobody.
I wish I had a